see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Every step of the way, welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program. This afternoon, my name is Thomas Gambill. I'm the host of the show, and y'all are welcome. We're here from Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., and we have Bible study from 8 to 9 p.m., also Monday through Friday. And this is brought to you by Watchman for Jesus Network, which is my own network. My website is WatchmanForJesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. You can find me there on quite a few occasions. Family, today I want to continue on with our discussion concerning the capabilities of the New World Order and some plans they have set up, how it relates to the news today, other issues that we're going to talk about. The rise of tyranny, as they want to call it, and dramatically, and the fall of Babylon is what I've called today. It's going to rise and it's going to fall. What's quite amazing is, in fact, it is going by the book. Obama's saying that Israel must give up land to Palestine. So I was supposed to be here to talk about how dare he say that. He's a Muslim, and I'm supposed to get all wired up and fired up because he wants to give away land of Israel and all this and all that. But that's not the case. That's not the reality. Reality is he's playing a part just like his co-worker, Netanyahu, and like his co-worker, Putin, and they all work together in this New World Order. That's the reality. They're controlled by the Vatican. So in reality, it's just a play being made by the American by the American press, which is no better than the European press, or the Russian press, or the Chinese press, or whatever press you want to call it. They're controlled by the secret societies. Perfectly controlled. The only problems they have are the infighting that they are jockeying around who's got the biggest wield of power. Who's going to be in control. There's no good guys in this game. There are none. They're not there. Sorry to tell you. I'd like to be able to tell you we have some good guys over here and they're coming around. They're not doing it. Our Joint Chief of Staff and our CFR members, they play a facade. They live double lives against the American people. And the Russian, the Chinese, the European, the British, no better. They're all the same. They work together under these secret societies. That's the reality. So for Obama to say, Putin, give up your land and all that, it'd be like, say, for example, Utah telling Texas they must give up land to Mexico. Well, what about the federal? You want to go through the feds first? It's like the governor of Utah telling the governor of Texas he must give up land to Mexico. You better do it or we're going to come get you. See, because Obama and Netanyahu are both leaders of two corporations. Yeah, America, as big as it is, probably bigger than Walmart. This is too funny. It's actually very true. We're a corporation here in America. We are a corporation. We're not a country. We have a flag just that we've been fighting for, killing and dying for a corporation. Might as well go, I don't know, you at Walmart, go fight against Target and kill each other in a war somewhere in some state. That's the same thing. We're a corporation. Always have been since 1783, since the Paris Peace Treaty. They lied to us. We never won the Revolutionary War. They made us into a colony, continuous. But to administer it, they incorporated the American states, territory, call it what you will, into a corporation, a dummy corporation. And each individual, each American citizen since 1929, is also a dummy corporation. That's why I pay income tax. Surprise, surprise, if you didn't know already. So Israel is no better. They are a corporation under the Queen Elizabeth, or colony, just like America, Australia, and Canada, and Barbados, all the same. Can you imagine? Here in America, American USA, is the same as Barbados. And that's an absolute fact. You want to challenge it, go ahead. You can deny it and run away. Go to another television program or, I don't know, radio station, I don't care. But you're going to find out this is true. I will not back down telling the truth. This is a fact that they're not telling you. So the play they're making is making it look like Obama's actually in charge of a country and making Netanyahu look like he's in control of Israel. He's not. They're both colonies, just like Utah and Texas are states in the Union, federals. It'd be Utah telling Texas, hey, give up land or we're going to do a sanction on you or something, whatever. It's all a play in the press to keep us busy while they set up their new or next move. That's how it really works. When I read these articles and see this, it's just irritating. And then people will talk about Israel and talk about how, you know, so how Obama is a Muslim. He's not as Luciferian like his cousin Bush and Clinton and all the rest of them. They all work together. Buchanan, Kerry, Cheney, all of them. Cameron, all of them. Man, there's not one that doesn't work together. And only conflict they have is who's going to be the big dog. They're all dogs. Luciferian, to be exact. That's the reality of what you all are facing today. In every country in this world. Every country. And the leaders do not care about their citizens. Not one. If they do, the Jesuits will take them out. Because they have. vilify them and send the Marines in to make democracy happen in that region. But what we're doing is collecting debt for the IMF is all we're doing. Since we've been doing it, since the Marine Corps was formed. When I learned these truths, boy, I tell you, I got hot on the collar. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now, and I want to get started today. I'm going to talk about a lot of subjects, but they're all connected, and bring reality to the airways. I don't benefit from this at all, zero. I pay for it. So I don't have any agenda. I belong to nobody, no movement, no petition, nothing except Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm done. I draw the line right there. That's it. That way my mind's not convoluted, all this patriotic fervor and all this other socialistic, communistic, patriotic, religious stuff going on. Jesus Christ is not about religion. Christianity so far from Jesus is not even funny. You got 41,000 different Christian sects. How come people can't realize that? Somebody is wrong. God's not going to have many different type of religions that you can believe what you want. Anytime you want to do it, that makes him a liar. It's not about religion at all. It's about salvation and redemption of one God, one Creator, and one Jesus Christ who has 10 commandments, and that is the rule of the world. It's not about religion, not about Christianity, not about Islam, not about none of that. Religion is designed to kill, steal, and destroy all religions in one way or another. He's not about religion. He's about your redemption and your salvation. Satan is real. The fallen angels are real. Demons are definitely real. But Jesus is too. And he's God incarnated in human flesh. Unlike what man-made doctrine tries to tell you. That's the God of the Creator. The God of the Creator and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost inside of all of us. Repent. Take him as your Savior. The time is drawing near. Very near, because the signs of the times are like never before. Let's dedicate the broadcast. Lord, we come before you today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to thank you for this day. And thank you for being able to, for us being able to see and hear this morning, this afternoon, tonight, the days we come on. We're blessed because, Lord, you're a forgiving God and understanding God. And though we know you've done so much for us, sometimes we don't see it and we ignore it. We have such a days that we keep our minds busy that, Lord, forgive us for looking a different direction. But, Father, convict us to bring us back on track. Forgive us this day for everything we've done. Lord, we listen to you. You know the hearts of those praying now. Father, to hear their forgiveness, hear their repentance. Father, to those that don't know how, that Lord, you, Holy Spirit, will guide them in the right path with divine appointments. Father, forgive us this day for things we've thought or said that was not pleasing to you. We ask you now for your forgiveness. Help us and keep us safe from all danger and harm with the blood of Jesus. And help us to continue this day on through this week with a different attitude and plenty of gratitude, Father, that sometimes we might lose that and forget where our strength really comes from. And let us make the best of each and every day, Lord, to help us keep our minds clear so we can hear from you, and not from others, not from ourselves, but from you. Because, Father, sometimes the enemy wants to redirect us to hear the song of man. And, Father, the Holy Spirit has the sweetest song of all. And broaden our minds that we can accept all things. Let's not whine and whimper over things that we have no control over. And, Father, to give us the wisdom and discernment to be able to discern which is which. Let us continue to see sin through God's eyes and acknowledge it is evil. And when we sin, that we repent and confess with our mouth our wrongdoings, and confess with our mouth to the Holy Spirit, not to man. And Father, we need that training, that direction to build a personal relationship with you, with no one in between, and receive the forgiveness of God. And Lord, when the world starts closing in on us, let us remember the example that Jesus set, to slip away and find that quiet place to pray. The best response when we're pushed beyond our limits. And Father, we know you're there because you listen to the heart. And then continue to use us, use me, and you listen to others. Father, we pray that you listen to others to do your will. And so that we may be a blessing to others as well. Keep us strong when we feel weak. Keep us uplifted. We'll have words of encouragement for others. And pray for those that are lost, can't find their way. We pray for those that are misjudged and misunderstood. And Lord, most of all, we pray for those who don't know you intimately. And we pray for those that will turn away without sharing a prayer, consoling with each other. We pray for those. And pray for families to start praying together. We know, Lord, that God changes people and God changes things. We pray for all our brothers and sisters, for the healing we've prayed for in the past. And Father, we pray, Lord, you'll guide us in your path. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Sometimes it's broadcast, although at times it does get a little intense, I guess. Kind of sells my mind, actually, when I do it. But doing it now, I guess, come September, I suppose, I keep losing track. About 6 years now. My background's military, anti-terrorism, and all that sort of thing. So if someone told me I'd be teaching, preaching, or talking on a radio as a broadcaster and researching in the day, broadcasting at night for the rest of my life, I thought that'd be crazy. Well, then it wouldn't be crazy. You know, a little story about when you make things count. You know, Steve Jobs had a battle with cancer. He's co-founder of Apple Incorporated. And he said, remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death. Leaving only what's truly important. His suffering influenced the choices he made. So, in contrast to that, to his experiences, the Apostle Peter, there was no Pope Peter. He is an apostle. And he wanted to motivate his readers to use their suffering to make their lives count for eternity. He wanted Jesus' suffering and death to inspire them to accept the spiritual conflict and persecution that would result from bearing the name of Jesus. Family, that's coming again. It's been going on in other countries. Pretty heavy here lately. People dying in the name of Jesus. Right now, it's on the internet for us here in America and maybe Europe, whatever. People get mad at you because you're on YouTube and you're saying you love Jesus and you're talking about Jesus. And atheists or COINTELPRO or CIA guys out there paid to get up there to shill you, as they call it. That's nothing compared to what's going on in other countries. They're killing people for this. Not on YouTube, but up close and personal. Well, that's coming to America, I'm telling you right now. And Europe as well. Other places is already happening. America, you get ready. It's coming. But all this because they loved Jesus and really stood up for him, suffering was going to be normative. The very ones that rejected Jesus, the apostles at first, after his death, resurrection, died for him later and suffered through their ministry horribly, getting chased, beat up. It wasn't like they would go from town to town and people were throwing, you know, little ticker tape parades for him. They were like, here they come again, let's go get them. Others would listen, yes. Others would say, let's beat them up. Chased out. Killed later. Jesus wasn't kidding when he told them. Jesus' suffering was to serve as motivation. That to give up sinful passions and to be obedient to the will of God. Talks about that in 1 Peter 4, 1 to 2. First Peter 4, 1 to 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh had ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. All this is what's reality. This is not a religious show I have. This is a show like all the others that deal with politics, finance, all that. Because all connected. Every bit of it's connected to the New World Order, to the politics, to Netanyahu, to Obama, to the Pope, to Agenda 21 and all this stuff they're talking about. It's all connected. You know why it's connected? Yeah, the Bible tells you. Psalms 2, 1 and 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Because the kings of the earth, there you go, set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, there's more to this scripture that I'll come back to in a little later. There is a conspiracy among the people of Judah. Jeremiah says so. All through the Bible tells you exactly what's going on today. Everything going on today is told us in the Bible. Jeremiah 11, 9 to 10. And the Lord said unto me, Jeremiah talking, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They're turned their back to the iniquity. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. And that starts the beginning of the New Testament. That's why they want to go back to the Old Testament. They can do what they want, but it ain't going to happen. You can call a pig an elephant, but don't make it an elephant because you call it so. You see. It will not happen. Jesus will take back Jerusalem. He will. No Joel's army. That's silly nonsense. No Christian army will rise up for the next 1,000 years or whatever. It's all nonsense, garbage. Tribulation will happen before that will. If their lives were going to account for eternity, people need to stop indulging in fleeting pleasures and instead exhaust their lives on what pleased God. Exhaust your lives on what pleased God, not things that are fleeting. Remember that Jesus suffered and died to forgive our sins is the most important thought that you can have to inspire you to make godly choices today and to make your lives count for eternity. This is what's going on, really. The news just keeps you busy. Even if a nuclear exchange occurs to bring the first seal, it doesn't matter what happens. The end's already written, and it will happen exactly like the book says. But why does God allow us to suffer? Elizabeth Kubler-Ross says, and I quote, "The most beautiful people we have known are those who have known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, gentleness, and a deep loving concern." Beautiful people just do not just happen. Unquote. God's building you up. Sometimes you got to tear you down. Not tear you down, but sometimes allow us to fall to our own lust till we finally realize this is not working. He's there to help you when you cry out for him, but sometimes he'll say, "Well, okay, I'll let you go, but I'm right here when you need me. So go ahead." And it never works. The elite with the billions of dollars, and even in the clergy, the millionaires and all that, family, they're being placated. They're not being blessed at all. They're placated because Satan is using them. Don't mistake success with being placated, because placating only lasts a certain period of time, and then it just dies. It goes away in a second. Now, along those lines, where are we headed with all this? What's really going on out there? You know, the churches are like numbed down, man. They are numb. They use false Bibles. King James Bible is the only one. The preachers fail to tell the congregation this. They'll be judged for that. There's no question about that. But they've numbed the churches down. All of them? No. There's some still. But they're on their own. And right now, the occult, since 1887, started infiltration of the churches. You heard about the Presbyterian minister that doesn't believe in God. He's tired of people not calling him Christian. Say what? Yep, that's recently. Can you imagine? When the occult or your cultic beliefs become integrated into a church practice under the cover of Christian terminology or Christian rock and roll, mega churches. They pass under what's called the radar screen of many who cannot recognize it for what they are. So it requires a person that has discernment and wisdom, or discernment, who's trained to discern them and point them out, and not afraid to point them out. But when you start doing that, there's people in the church that come out and say, you can't judge. Don't touch my anointed. Don't judge. Doesn't help you on this one, but you're an error. You're not judging. You're reproving. You're exposing. You're warning people. And to not do it, you allow them to strip you of discernment, and it protects those who are teaching falsely. God's into protecting his people from harm. He doesn't want us to protect false teachers, but be protected from them. That's what a watchman does. He warns people and then moves on. Well, right now, what we've got going on is Obama now demands Israel give up their land to create a Palestinian state. All this is bogus. He may do it. It may be played out. But this is a play out. He doesn't have the authority. We're a colony. Israel's a colony. And it's a play that they're making to stir us up and to keep us busy. Now, the Israeli flag, for example, the Star of David, that's a crest of Solomon. That's no religious symbol. It's an occult symbol. It requires blood sacrifice. The menorah, the candlesticks, that's the real symbol for the Jews. Hebrew Jews, by the way. The real Jews. The American flag. Family, you've got 50 pentagrams on it. It's based on the occult. The red, white, and the blue. Every flag in every country has a certain occult symbol on it, every single one. Divided up in order that we would fight each other until the day comes. We get tired of fighting, new world order would take shape, and Satan would have his one world government. That's the big picture that people aren't looking at. And that's something that people don't like to hear. They really don't like that at all. In a way, it complicates matters, but another way, it very uncomfortably simplifies it. Uncomfortably, it simplifies it. And they use everything from pollution, threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, war, racism, feminism. All these are weapons to cause this conflict so that eventually we want to come back together into a one world government. That's what it's all about. And in essence, every conspiracy that you can name is simply a step in the outward manifestation of the one called Lucifer's determined rebellion towards God as it's executed by his human agents. Now, that's about as simple as one can make it. And that includes every event going on today. I mean, bar none. This article came out recently, I thought quite interesting, that the Ukraine oligarchs, top cash contributors, were top cash contributors to the Clinton Foundation prior to the Kiev crisis. The U.S. Supreme Court Citizens United case paved the way for international crime syndicates to funnel unlimited, ill-gotten gains into America's political campaign to the cheers of all those receiving end. It's always been, that our presence have been chosen from the day they were out of high school, because they're all bloodline. So already it's a farce. So the contributors to the campaigns, it's for nothing. Where's the money going? Because the president's already chosen. You could have eight out there talking, eight candidates, and they start whittling them down, don't they? Down to two. Always down to two. One reason or another. Always, those last two are family members. Kerry, Romney, all these guys, man, are a part of the Mervingian bloodline. They're cousins. Kerry, Romney, Cheney, Bush, Clinton, and Obama through his mother's bloodline. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, they are. Absolutely. Every president. And the president is chosen before he even gets, before he leaves high school. He is groomed. They got two, three more in the position in case he doesn't make it. This is how the Illuminati works. Now that would be an eye-opener for those that don't know. Now you don't have to believe it. If you check into it, you'll find that's absolutely true. They confirmed Burke Peerage, Ancestry.com, several other researchers confirm officially that all the presidents are bloodline. It's not one of those where we're all kin to Adam and Eve. No. No. And did you know that the kings and queens of this world that I've just read to you, that the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers may take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed? Did you know that the blue bloodline, revived the Roman Empire, Italians and Germans, not the Jews, the kings and queens, the blue bloodline today, can trace their bloodline all the way back to the pharaohs of Egypt. To the pharaohs of Egypt. When they migrated to Europe, was their ancestors. Now that's heavy. That applies directly to the Old Testament scripture, Psalms 2, verses 1 and 2. I don't know if anyone's picked up on the significance of what I've just said. I don't know. But those that have, can you? Just as a head slapper. It's like, whoa. That the kings of the earth set themselves, rulers take counsel together. Family, that bloodline is Illuminati today, right now. Queen Elizabeth II. Aldo Brandini. Chagi. Gaetana, Breakspeare, Medici, Farnese. These families are the inner circles of the Illuminati. Trace their black to the Teresa bloodline back to Psalms 2:2. Because they have a different DNA than any human has. Genesis 6:2, 6:4. The sons of God take the daughters of men and created Nephilim. And those are the ones that rule today. You see, amazing stuff that is. Amazing. Now, but there's a message for them in that same scripture of what's going to happen to them. And it's been happening all along. And so, in Psalms 2:2, all right, here we go. Let's see, Psalms. There's a message there for them that's going to be there. It's going to be their actual end. They've already been identified. It goes like this. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let's break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. Well, it continues though. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet if I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them to pieces and up like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled with a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. What have I just said? I've just said what their end is going to be. It's going to be this, family. It's to place this psalm in proper perspective. This is very important. Whether you talk about no hide laws or Agenda 21 or New World Order and all that nonsense, that's why I don't worry about it. Save your gold, buy gold, put it here, put it there, buy silver, save silver, put it here, put it there. All this stuff is going to come and it's going to go. This psalm, as you look ahead to the close of the great tribulation that yet to come, those at the highest level, I don't give a hoot who they are saying we're in a tribulation now, are full of lies and treachery and deceit. Hagee, Mark Blitz, B.P. Simmons, Carl Gallup, every single one of them that say that we're in the Bagley, all of them say that we're in the end times. It's a lie from the pit of hell or deception where they better just quit what they're doing and go back to Bible study. Absolutely. See, they're counting on their position to convince people they're telling the truth. They cannot justify it by no stretch of any imagination. Cause them to have to explain it. Watch what happens. They can't. You see, the great tribulation, immediately prior to the glorious return and reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, at this time, is a vast federation of rulers and nations that's going to unite in kind of a determination to prevent Jesus from taking the reins of the world government. That's what this psalm's all about. Why do you think they have harp? Why do you think they have, Star Wars that Reagan came up with? To control the elements of this earth and around the earth, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, get rid of Christ's people, transhumanism, eugenics, wars to kill off. All this is designed to prevent Christ from taking the reins of the world government. And even the Rick Joyners and the Knights of Malta, these guys that are pretend Christians, are saying we're going to wipe away all the sin that they call sin, they better look in the mirror. And that way Jesus won't come. We'll hold it down, the fort. We'll get rid of evil. That's evil getting rid of evil. Psalms 34:21, and evil shall slay the wicked. Come, Holy Spirit, tell me what you're talking about. This is what's going on, family. It's connected to the Bible. Every bit of it. They're trying to prevent Christ from taking the reins of the world government. Hitler was set out to find the Hebrew Jews. That's what the concentration camps were all about. The fake Jews in there today, they won't there. The Khazars, Ashkenazi. And the Star of David is a cult symbol of witchcraft. Came up with Hitler, and it goes back a ways, but Hitler used it on them to curse them. That's what he put it on their bodies for. But this federation will prove to be an exercise of futility. It already has on many occasions. Since when? Since Nimrod. Since Nebuchadnezzar. Cyrus. Alexander. Rome. And five times since Charlemagne. All the way up to Napoleon and Hitler, trying to revive their Holy Roman Empire. It's not happened yet publicly. They've had to do it in a subtle ways. God won't let them come out publicly yet. That's what's going on today. Do the Gentile nations and the Jewish people enter such a hopeless conspiracy? And how the Gentile kings and the Jewish rulers think they can ever succeed in rebelling against the authority of the Lord and His anointed. That's not going to happen. Because once He removes His anointed, shall I use the phrase, all hell will break loose. See, God in the heavens shall laugh at their stupid insolence. He will mock their clenched fists and their fiery slogans. Their boasts and threats are the squeaking of a mouse against a lion. And an ant crawling up an elephant's leg thinks it's going to cause an itch. See, eventually God's going to break His silence. And when He breaks it, He'll be in such wrath and such fury, His enemies will be terrified, no matter who they are and no matter what they have. They'll hear His irrevocable decision. I have installed my king on my holy hill of Zion. And the gates of hell will not prevail. And mankind will just fall away. Those that don't follow Him will be in fear throughout the tribulation if they live that long. And once God pronounces this decision, its fulfillment will be certain as if it had already taken place. And Christ Himself will add His testimony. He will reveal that in private conversation, the Father had first said to Him, "You are my Son. Today I've begotten you." And that decree may be understood in four ways, actually. One, there'll be a real sense in which Christ was the Son of God from all eternity. He's always been here, Jesus has. Acts 13, verses 33. Well, however, this verse is quoted in reference to Christ's incarnation as well. In the third sense, Christ was begotten in resurrection. The firstborn from the dead, Colossians 1, verse 18. And you know, some suggest that this day also refers to a future day when Christ will be crowned as king after Armageddon. The real Armageddon, not the fake that got coming up. But then His Father said and added to it through the scriptures, "Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession." In other words, what that means is God the Father has promised universal dominion to His Son. And all the earth will submit to His authority, His rule, and that will extend from shore to shore. So it would behoove those in control and those that think they're in control to learn what He's saying, because He will overpower them. He'll laugh in their derision. Their derision has always been throughout the history of mankind. Of them just fighting each other. It's always been that way. And you know, finally, that God's given Christ the authority now, he's resurrected, to deal with all insubordination and rebellion. Right now, it's grace. He's your lawyer to God, because we can't see God. We can't talk to God. We're sinners. And only through Jesus, by his resurrection. How he does that is through the Holy Spirit. Hears all our prayers. How's that work? I don't know. I have no idea. That's God's business. It's a mystery for us humans. But he can. We don't confess to another human being. You got to be kidding me. For what? They got their own problems. That priest behind that telephone booth thing you're all in, that doesn't mean nothing. Rosary beads, crosses on your chest, what? It's pieces of metal and wood, whatever, I don't know what. Doesn't mean a thing. The Holy Spirit inside you means everything. They can't take that away from you. But first you got to get it in you. He shall break with a rod of iron those who rise up against him, shattering them like a potter's vessel. He'll cause them to fight each other, Joel's army. Not going to be some Christian army out there like slinging swords like in Highlander or some silly nonsense. Or even MP4s. Family, when they think they have control of the weather by technology, what they don't realize, these scientists don't realize, this world, as I explained yesterday, operates on frequency vibration. And frequency vibrations are measured by formulas and properties of elements and geometric figures and all this whiz-bang, thank you, ma'am, kind of calculus and I don't know what else. All, that's all based on a constant frequency vibration of the earth equals MC squared over 2. Now, all God's got to do is change the frequency vibration of the earth just a little bit. And it messes up everything they've got. I mean, all he created the earth, I think he could change the vibration frequency, the norm, to another norm. And everything they've got, bzz, it goes bizzat. You talking about a virus? Man, they'll even get rid of viruses. They have no idea who they're fooling with. They base everything they've got on technology and human knowledge, which is family. For us to know the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God is like pouring the ocean to a pint cup. He's got 180 IQ. Oh, please. Oh, it's higher, way higher than mine, but you're talking about God here, man. You're talking about God. IQs mean nothing. It's just absolutely silly. All he's got to do is change the frequency to a certain degree, and it's everything they've got's done. Cooked, fried, it quits. Why do you think they have to keep upgrading the equipment? From other scriptures, you learn that Christ will exercise his authority both when he returns to earth and throughout his thousand-year reign. You've got Calvinists and preterists and all these folks out there that, oh, we're in the thousand-year reign now of Christ. Really? Moving on. You know, before his inauguration as king, he'll destroy those who do not know God. Now, what I was telling you was, right now, Jesus Christ is your intercessor. He's your lawyer. He's on your side, pleading your case to God. Satan is there convicting you. How's Satan do it to everybody? He's got demons around you. I'm going to explain the demonology tonight, how it works. The reality of the demonic entities. To know them is to defeat them with the Holy Spirit. But you got to know what's out there. Tonight I'm going to talk about it in my Bible study 8 to 9. But nevertheless. So, here's the deal on that. When he takes over, he's going to change the culture of this world entirely. No more influence of Satan. None. For 1,000 years after Armageddon. So everything that you all kings out there do is for nothing. Every effort you make, Genesis 21, all that stuff, is for naught. You're just being placated. And then nothing you can do about it. Nothing. And those who do not obey the gospel in the millennium, Christ will rule them with a rod of iron, punishing rebellion whenever it raises its ugly head. So here's the deal. Right now he's your lawyer. He's on your side. You're paying him, so to speak. Well, family, listen, that ends. When he comes back, he is no longer your lawyer. That side of Jesus is gone. For that period of time, it's called the tribulation. He's coming down here to judge, man. He's coming down here to judge. It's like you're in a courtroom and your lawyer's pleading your case. And if you're a sinner, you lose. And the lawyer just, well, sorry, I did the best I could. I'm out of here. And another Jesus takes over. He becomes a judge for that tribulation period. And he pronounces judgment on those that are guilty. Bad, real bad. And when the judgment's done, he's back being the judge and the lawyer, but mainly the judge. But a benevolent one that's full of grace and love, but still judging. And you know, toward the end of this Psalms, toward the end of it, be wise, therefore, ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve with trembling. What he's talking about here is that the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is God also, is heard. And a moving evangelistic appeal. That was awkward. I have a trouble with that word in my mind. Evangelistic. Thank you. Here he urges all the kings and the rulers that we're talking about here to love and serve the Lord. It's an admonishment. It's a warning from a watchman to you. Because to refuse him means total destruction, and there's nothing you can do about it. You could try, go ahead, but you will not succeed. You've been warned. But to trust him brings safety and true happiness. For man to trust his Creator is the most sane, logical, and reasonable thing he can do. On the other hand, to disbelieve and defy the Almighty God is about as irrational a thing as a person can even think of. Because you haven't accomplished it yet. Is that not the definition of insanity? To keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results? I seem to recall that. So it brings us to, what are these silly rascals doing? You're going to wish Elmer Fudd was out there trying to hunt you down. Because when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to cleanse it before, and then he comes back, it's all changing. So he keeps them in derision. What does that mean exactly? I'm not going to spell details here, but an example would be World War II. Six phases of World War II. I've explained this before to my regular listeners, normal regular listeners, that in World War II, there was actually six phases, and the leaders even then were working together. Hitler, Churchill, yeah, that's true. FDR, working with Japanese, sure was. So when I read these articles about Obama as a traitor and these other political leaders are traitors and all this sort of thing, and And the Fonda lady there, that Fonda girl, yeah. Back in the Vietnam War, she's a traitor to this country. Please. Oh, boy. Did you know that Nixon had set up a military dictatorship, was getting ready to put it through? He gave us, turned us over to the UN when he signed the executive order 11647. He was working with General Cushman of the Marine Corps, for goodness sakes, to set up a dictatorship in America that failed. It was taken down. FDR was going to do the same thing. Bush was going to do the same thing. His own words. It'd be a lot easier if there was a dictator. As long as I'm the dictator, unquote. I got the words I can plan for you. It's all their own words. I keep track of it. They've always planned a dictatorship, but God keeps them in derision. See, in six phases of World War II, the fifth phase, fifth one, was planned out to where about 1941-42, Yamamoto was to attack Pearl Harbor as planned in the 1920s by FDR and Churchill and Japanese elite. Worked together. Notice I said the word elite. And Churchill was a murdering Knights of Malta, like Mandela is a Knights of Malta. Castro is a Jesuit. You kind of get the idea here? They're all part of this secret society. They work against their people. Every country has the same thing. Yeah, I'm really ticking off some people, I bet. But it's also true. So, in the fifth phase of World War II was supposed to have been the taking of Britain and France by Hitler and dictatorship in Britain and France. But the sixth phase was going to be the United States. And FDR had planned a dictatorship as laid out to Congress March the 4th, 1939, by his own words. So about 2 years later, it's supposed to be have a dictatorship in America. Yeah, I got the quote. I've read the quote many times over the air. Behind closed doors, never to be revealed to the public. This quote is given to William G. Carr by Senator Lundeen. So in the sixth phase, Hitler was to cross the Atlantic, focus his troops on to Nova Scotia and Canada and sweep mid-Canada and go south, cut the United States in half. And Yamamoto was to destroy and take over Pearl Harbor, sink the four carriers, and then use Hawaii, Pearl Harbor, as a jump-off to invade California. And guess what? The plan was for them to walk in virtually unopposed. And they would have. You know why? Because, as confirmed by a quote of FDR, March 4th, 1939, you would have had a complete dictatorship in America by 1943. So there would have been no resistance. That was planned. The quote is unmistakable. That didn't happen because Hitler got taken over by power lust. And he went toward Russia. Oops. And somehow, someone in high position in Pearl Harbor said, we know it's coming. Let's move the four carriers out to sea. Uh-oh. Yamamoto, who knew about this from since 1920, said, oh my, all these are old ships, and where's those four carriers? Oh boy. He knew he was going to get his butt kicked. Four carriers out there? They had to turn the Japanese fleet into scrap metal. He pulled away. See, God keeps them in derision. That's my point. I'm not going to more detail than that. Oh, there's a lot more detail. Ha, a lot. But I'm trying to tell you, this is how God works. They get so close. The fall of Babylon. Take it all the way back. Rome, destroyed from within. Every single time they've tried a world government, it has failed miserably. This is very significant, what I'm telling you. This is consistent. A consistent train of events. That people aren't keeping track of. I'm a watchman. This is my job. This is what I do. I've dedicated my life to this. Apparently. But family, it was predicted by Daniel when he gave Nebuchadnezzar interpretation of his dream. See, God gave a dream to a pagan. He caused the man of God to have to give him the interpretation in the glory of God. So it was given to a pagan that made it more legitimate. That's why God did it. Babylon ruled the world. 605 B.C. to 539 B.C. Exactly. Babylon was the head of gold in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. His dreams of himself. His ruling. Kingdom came after was the chest and arms of silver was who conquered Babylon. By Medo-Persia. Cyrus the Great. This is 2,500 years in the future. This prediction. Cyrus the Great was next in the Persian Empire from 539 to 331 BC. That was the chest and arms of Persia. Of silver. Who conquered Medo-Persia? The great kingdom of Greece, led by the Macedonian Alexander the Greek, taken up 331 BC to 168 BC. And they had bronze. Greek weapons were made of bronze. Greece was the belly and thigh of bronze. That's why. How did Daniel know that? How did that dream come through that he knew this dream of another man? Who conquered Greece? Well, June the 22nd, that's a very significant day, by the way, 168 B.C., at the Battle of Pydna, the kingdom of Alexandria fell, and 144 years from his death is under the iron monarchy of Rome. And from 168 B.C., Rome ruled to 476 A.D., I believe it was. 476. Now, if you go to Daniel, verse 40, Daniel 2, the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. Iron can crush gold, silver, and bronze, can it not? Rome was the greatest empire of all antiquity and of all time. Jesus was even crucified on a Roman cross. In 31 A.D., thereabouts. In the same time period, Jerusalem was destroyed. 70 A.D., as predicted by Jesus, even. After all, he was God, you know. Rome was the legs of iron, as Daniel, thousands of years before it, predicted. Well, who conquered Rome? Nobody. They destroyed from within. Daniel 2, verse 41 says that the fourth kingdom shall be divided. Rome was then not conquered from outside, but was destroyed from within. A fifth column attack, you might say. Divided Rome with the feet and toes, partly of iron, partly of clay. Guess how many? 10. 3 of the 13, Ostrogoth, Heruli, and the Vandals were extinct, leaving 10 parts of Rome. 10 unions revived Holy Roman Empire. And you know, when you would hear back then the prophecy of Daniel, you say, oh, that's nonsense. The Hernani, the Burgundians, the Franks, the Lombards, the Saxons, the Suevi, the Visigoths, that was the Germans, the Switzerland, French, Italians, English, Portuguese, and Spanish. We're all barbarian. Well, that sure ended. It became the Roman Empire. Then, of course, now as I described, was divided, then destroyed from within. What we have today is called the EU. Oh, whoops. How about that? Huh? How about those apples? And the UN. The EU. You've got to revive Roman Empire, family. It is upon us. It's a coming. But then they've tried to unite Europe since all that time. Charlemagne, same family bloodline as our presidents, as our kings and queens in this world, are on the same bloodline as Charlemagne. Charlemagne can trace his bloodline back to the pharaohs of Egypt. And ever since then, Charlemagne, Charles V of Spain, Louis XIV of France, Parlez-vous français? Oui, oui. And Napoleon. Rothschilds made a lot of money off that boy. And Hitler. Adolfo. They all failed to revive the Roman Empire. 2,500 years of human history predicted by Daniel through the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. I find that absolutely amazing. Awe-inspiring. And they should put the fear of God into these kings of the earth today. Because there's not a darn thing they can do about it. Because everything that's happened was predicted. It happened exactly as it was predicted. And it's going to happen exactly as Revelation tells it's going to happen. So you had around 2,500 years of human history declared 600 years before the time of Christ. No human can predict 2,500 years in the future. God told Daniel from inside about the dream. It was a spirit of God working inside Daniel to give him that knowledge. That was God talking through Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar. And so you could read it today because it's going by the book. I didn't plan on talking about this today at all, but apparently that went by the wayside. Had something else planned. Didn't work out that way. Of course, I still got 45 minutes. What if I told you, America? Now, the British already know this. They're laughing at us. I don't like that. But they're laughing at us. You know why they're laughing at us? I'll tell you why they're laughing at us. Because what if I told you, Americans? I'm American, too. I'm a Southern boy. That the version of history we were taught in school was heavily revised to favor our own nation's agenda while hiding its crimes. And doing so is fostered for us unrealistic sense of false patriotism used to manufacture our allegiance to a corporate entity masquerading as your government. Now, Canada, Israel, Australia, don't start sticking your chest out because you're exactly the same way. Hey, yeah, buddy, sure are. It's a fact. Now, y'all better do a second take on this. And don't believe me, I don't want you to. But you better check it out. It's all coming together. My study of this tied up with not only a conviction I feel to do it, but more than that, for me personally, it's a fascination to see all this play out exactly like that Bible said. I mean, I didn't believe all this at first. Even evolved as the names of my broadcast changed. When I first started off 6 years ago or so, oh, yeah, I was like New World Order, defeat the New World Order and all that stuff, you know. I was even calling my show New World Order's Fighters. That was the name of the show on LBN, Liberty Broadcasting Network. Oh, that's interesting. That was my first debut as a radio broadcaster. And then some things happened there, and I moved on to Micro Effect, Watchman Chronicles. I changed the name, Watchman Chronicles. Someone asked me, said, what are you going to call you? We need to put you up on the board. What are you going to call yourself? I don't know. Watchman Chronicles, just because it was New World Order's fighter. Watchman Chronicles, just throw that up. That's all it was. I didn't do any incorporation or none of that stuff. I just said, give them a name, put it up, and there you go. And then, of course, people that know me know the story about Watchman Chronicles. And actually, as a result of that, I ended up with a network of my own. Without my planning. I did not plan this. I planned nothing. That's the tricky part. I didn't plan none of this. I didn't become a broadcaster until 3 days. I knew I was going to do it. It all fell in my path. It landed in my lap. Like, what? 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 All the time. End up with a network. I got monitors all over the place here, mixers, stuff I don't even know, buttons I don't even still don't know about. But anyway, I ended up with it. Long story about that, but nevertheless, it's all put together without me even planning one bit. Now I realize, gosh, I guess that's how God works. But my knowledge of the New World Order began about 2006 when I was in the Congo working in the State Department project. I was a project manager for an intelligence project, U.S. State Department in Kisangani, the Congo. It was a pretty heavy project of bringing four African countries together to get ready for terrorism and all this. And I was a project manager. I just fell into the job. Someone asked me, you want to do it? And I said, yeah. So when I was over there, my mind was, well, basically clear. Had some things going on. But I reflected back, because talking about isolated, yeah, buddy. I was able to reflect back and say, well, goodness gracious, I've been in Saudi Arabia, I've been in Kosovo, Marine Corps, I've been in all these places, and now I'm in the Congo, and everything started coming together like a puzzle, fitting together. That's when I started learning about Rockefellers and Rothschilds and New World Order and, you know, all that stuff just came together. Boom. I saw it operating in Kosovo, up close and personal. In Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, I saw it operating. In Washington, D.C., when I worked as analyst for the State Department and other places. Physical security analyst and all this and all that. It all came together like a puzzle. No longer a puzzle. And that's kind of why I'm here, I guess. And I'm trying to warn people. Worldwide. Not just United States. I'm trying to tell y'all. Y'all been taken for a ride in every country by your leaders, who are all secret society members, and they're working together behind your back. I don't care what country I'm talking to. Every one of you. And if you've got a good leader down South America or some of these other places, and he starts saying, I'm going to take care of my people, the Jesuits will target him. They're trying to put your country under debt. They'll send an earthquake your way. They'll send a lot of water your way through the rain that they can engineer through HAARP and flood you out. They can send tsunamis. They control the weather. For now. Now, I don't want you to believe me. I want you to search it out and you'll find out what I'm telling you is true. They created HIV, Fort Detrick, Maryland, in the 1970s. They created cancer. They targeted baby boomers in the 1950s, confirmed by CDC, with cancer viruses in the polio vaccine on purpose. That's confirmed. That's confirmed. That is confirmed. They put fluoride in the water, 1900 AD, all through our history. In 1952, when it came time, what we didn't know was the aluminum in the pots and pans that they did know, mixed with fluoride, fluorine, in fact caused chronic fluorosis by design. Yeah, look that little sucker up. On purpose. It was not accidental. Agent Orange to cause cancer in our troops in Vietnam. Father O'Connor, who's now dead, back in 1987, confirms that Vietnam was already set up to lose, and Korea was. I heard it last night when I listened to a sermon that Father O'Connor gave in 1987. He confirms what I've been saying all along. Military commanders, your strategies, your tactics, you learned and all that through Command and Staff College and what have you, and actual, everything's controlled by rules of engagement to slow you down or speed things up. Every single war is not determined by tactics, supply, demand, and superior firepower. It's not determined the outcome of the war. The rules of engagement by the secret societies determines who's going to win, who's going to lose. Now, you're not going to like this. I'm going to tell you anyway. When those who follow Lucifer right now in this world want to advance further, there's got to be a sacrifice, human sacrifice. In the family, in the country, there's got to be human sacrifice. You want to advance? Somebody's got to die. This is him mocking God. From a singer, songwriter, dancer in Hollywood, somebody in their family's got to die. In politics, someone in their family's got to die. If you're going to advance further, this is facts I'm telling you. These are documented. This is not, I'm not just telling you some kind of sensational declaration or whatever. I'm telling you exactly what's going to happen. So if a country wants to advance, if they want to get a certain act passed that's connected to the supernatural, there's got to be human sacrifice. Family, that's the purpose of wars. That's the purpose of abortion. This is the big purpose of all the death they orchestrate, is that human sacrifice for them to advance. While it's happening, they're being judged. It'll count in their days when that tribulation begins. You see how it works up? They're building a case of being built up against them. This is the biggest picture I can give you. That's what's going on with the wars. World War I, World War II, and coming World War III was all planned before 1871. Veterans, I'm going to tell you the truth here. They're using our military, as General Butler talked about in 1932, to collect debt. Did work for Standard Oil, fruit companies, before 1917. He wrote about it, called War's a Racket. He confirms it. Well, here's the reality. We've been used in the military to kill others worldwide under false pretenses, always. Now, the problem is, when they've returned, they're killing our military when they come back. Orchestrated suicides, cancer from Agent Orange, Gulf War syndrome is a derivative of the HIV virus and Ebola that they created at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Because they know that we are resistance to the North American Union and UN troops. And they know our troops, because we have been the fighting arm of the Vatican. We're trained to the utmost. And they knew that unless they disabled the American military, they'd never get their New World Order. And anybody that tried to even think about hitting our shores aggressively in a standard traditional manner would never make it. There's not a country on the face of this planet could take the United States in a regular standard war. Wasn't going to happen. Not possible. However, our own government, working with the Vatican, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, take this blood oath for Satan. That's a fact. Look it up. It's called the Fifth Column Strategy to destroy us from within. Our own government, our own commanders at the highest level. Rick Joyner, Jerry Boykin. Wesley Clark, the highest level, McKerney, all of them that are members of the Council of Foreign Relations and a Joint Chief of Staff, once they get to that level, certain ones will take an oath for the secret societies. They will work with the Council of Foreign Relations, which is working against America. Even though they have it here, they're part of the New World Order. So they must kill our troops. And they are doing that. It's happening now. So don't hate America and the troops, Americans. Because we're victims also. They just don't know it. And it's the same for every other military on the lower level. Every single one of them is the same thing. Having us fight each other. So they take over in the end. That's always been the plan. This is documented. This is not some theory. It's not some speculation. These are facts, I'm telling you. I would think that somebody, that now we do have, on one side of America, you have the, the secret societies over here that think they're benevolent. And all they're doing is fighting dogs wanting a head position. That's all it is. Knights Templar, Knights of Malta, these guys put themselves on the high ground, but they're no better. None of them will succeed. But what will succeed in their own level is the European Illuminati, the Roman Empire, will defeat Russia, China, and America. You know how they're going to do it? I'll tell you exactly how they're going to do it. They're going to have us to fight each other into complete exhaustion when Russia and Turkey launch an attack against Israel. Then those on the side of Israel will launch an attack back, of course, to fight to complete exhaustion. Citizens caught in the middle will give rise to the Roman Empire of Europe once again. That's what's going to happen. China doesn't know this, I guess. Maybe Russia doesn't either. I don't know. But they're walking right into a trap. And that trap's America. And right there near Kosovo, or that line right there between NATO and Russia. Yeah. Camp Bondsteel. The pipeline going through Macedonia. All that stuff is included in this scenario. I find it fascinating, actually. When you study this thing, it's like, wow, you know. It's quite amazing to see all this transpire. And then you watch the news and you see it all, this kind of starts fitting together. So now, when I start talking about this, today, I don't know. I was going to talk about the planks of communism and some of their plans. I'm still going to talk about some of it. But they control depression, recessions, like you do a checkbook. They can make the stock market go up, stock market go down, anytime they want to. They make their money, and they're told when. Talking about stock inside traders, ha, on steroids. So they'll throw some up to be prosecuted just to make it look honest. Now, this is March, April, coming up, April 19th. Put on your calendar, April 17th, they're on April 20th. Some major disasters should happen about that time period. We'll see what happens. April 19th, I'll talk about that before it happens, is a major sacrifice day between April 17th and April 19th, always. Now, this four blood moons, forget, I didn't want to waste my time with that nonsense. Hagee and Blitz, man, throw those books away. Those books are worthless. I mean, literally, they're just worthless books. Can they make something happen September in the last blood moon? Sure they can make something happen. They're controlling it, but God's not, it's not in the Bible. Four blood moons, total nonsense. I'm kind of wondering where to head because my whole plan was shot today. God has a way of jumping in there, you know. You had to hear what I had to say today. It's a warning to those that think they're in control. You're not. You're not in control at all. Veterans are killing our troops. They're killing them when they come back. Our own government. And the same thing for Britain and the other countries as well, like Australia. But primarily America. Because like Bill Cooper said, we're the last bastion. And they planned it that way. So they got to change the laws of the land to go against the biblical principles. When they do that, when they change the laws of the land to go against the Bible, what that does is causes God's Holy Spirit to move back and pull away, which gives Satan more latitude to operate because there's less opportunity for people to do the right thing. Therefore, God removes his spirit little by little. Shall we say changes the frequency? There'll be more death and wars within our own boundaries. Disobedience, and they'll have more latitude to cause more division. Now, the trick about causing division is this. A quote I came up with. A division among all creates chaos and war. A threat to all brings all together as one. Order out of chaos. That's how they do it. And that's where they're targeting us now. We're the last ones to go. Now, notice something also, though. In France, man, they got you. Riots, all kinds of different riots going on there. Spain, Greece. All over the place. Notice that, huh? Each one's got a different reason for it, all at the same time. As for the same objective. Order out of chaos is what they're creating. And they do an analysis of each country to determine what would be used to cause that country to go against each other and fight each other to keep you busy until such time they can bring you together under one banner. Works every time. I was doing a study on France the other day, and I'd like to present that, you know, eventually, about how they're hooking and crooking France. and causing them to fight each other and to have riots and so forth, to start getting control. They target each one, each country. But you know, to save souls is what it's all about. You slow down their legislation. You cause them derision. By town hall meetings. Making demands on your senators. Make them work for a while. Find out what's being passed through your legislation instead of worrying about your golf game. Or who the dickens playing basketball. Who cares? You can sit for hours at a bar, at Chili's or wherever else, and you can talk to your buddy next left or right, or the couples that go out together about their basketball game, and is Kentucky going to win? All you want to. Does that help Kentucky win? No. If they win, do they give a hoot what you think? No. You might win a bet, but so what? It's over with. You probably spend it for dinner the next day anyway. Or maybe three dinners. Who knows? It's all over. It doesn't count. But what's your kid being taught in school? What euthanasia act are they passing in Oregon that's going to kill your child? How about the HPV vaccine that your child takes that's going to cause them to be sterile? Oh, that's a fact, absolutely. Spain, France, India, and Japan have stopped using the HPV shot because it's killing girls. They want boys to take it to sterilize them, and girls too. Did y'all know that? How come we're not doing it? How come we're still doing it? How come you lying nurses and doctors don't tell your patients the truth? Why? For your job too, and some of you are Wicca, I know that. Oh, yeah. It's about human sacrifice. At the lowest level to the highest level. That's what it's about. To start getting word out, start your own blog talk radio. Try it sometime. Might like it. Slowly start to learn about the New World Order. Take Jesus Christ as your Savior, number one, and let Him give you wisdom and discernment and start informing people. You fight it, but not with guns. Guns will only survive, only serve to justify martial law. By being obedient to the government, until the government causes you to sin against God, then you refuse. You've got clergy out here, 25,000 plus, being trained by FEMA to convince the public when disaster happens to do everything the government tells you to do. Well, that's a lie. They're being trained to tell you that. Do everything the government tells you to do. On the other spectrum, you've got the patriot groups and the other side that they also control to tell you don't do anything the government tells you to do. Rebel. Go against them. Fight them. Well, that's another extreme. You see, if you don't rebel and you do what the laws say, they don't have any recourse. But when they cause you to sin against God or do something against the Bible, and I ain't doing that, you refuse. Now, we do incur the wrath of man. I'd like to do the courageous thing and say, we'll defeat them, we'll fight them, we'll kill them, we'll all. What are you going to do then? You got to look at it realistically. Pick your battle. That in itself is a program. But I'm giving you some ideas here about what's really going on. I am a former U.S. Marine. But I've learned some things about the reality of this world. And they have a principle that they operate from. And that principle is to keep us in derision But God's kept them in derision. But their principle has been what Vladimir Lenin said, and I quote, that the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and you have rebellion, you will also have repression and a dictatorship by consent. That's how they do it. I've been talking about this now for the past hour, how they keep us in derision. Well, God's got them in derision. So this is really what's going on. This is amazing what's happening today in this world when you really outline it. In education, find out what your kid's being taught. That means you got to talk to them at dinner and get the noses out of that doggone shoot 'em up, bang, bang, fast and furious video game that teach them how to kill whoever they want to. That's what it's doing. Limits their peripheral vision down to 12 inches or 18, whatever it is, for hours. Find out what they're being taught. Planned Parenthood come by. You've been told about sex, and what did they tell you? They tell you about a microchip. They tell you about this. Find out what they're talking. Because every school is a school of humanism. Charles Francis Potter, 1930, confirms this. So is Paul Brandwine, Bertrand Russell. They confirm your school system is there to train them to be humanist. That's a fact. So find out what they're being trained on. Then you get your parents together, friends together, before you go to the next parent-teachers meeting, and you have all your guns loaded. Let me use another word. Have all your topics ready to talk about. And you're on the same page, and you hit them, bang, about the Planned Parenthood coming by and you didn't know it, about talking about vaccines and you weren't told about it. You give your kid instructions not to get a vaccine. Text me if they do. Family, get to know your children. Stranger danger, not to take. That's what you got to do. Education is how they're getting to you. And philosophy. I took course of philosophy in Appalachia. Went to Appalachia State. A totally worthless course. Only people made sense out of it was the hippies that smoked dope. I guess they had to smoke dope to understand it because they pretended they did. I don't know. I said, man, I couldn't wake up in the classes. I kept sleeping. Total worthless course, philosophy. Philosophy and religion, in fact, was created to hide the Savior, to hide the truth about Jesus. Philosophy convolutes religion. Religion, so many different sects of doctrine to take you away from the truth. Philosophy is worthless. John Dewey was a humanist, father of American education. He's also a doctor of philosophy. Horace Mann. They're all humanists. And religion. Oh, that in itself is a whole 2-hour program. But religion, family, demand that your preacher, doggone it, demand, there's more of you than him, demand that he order King James Bibles. That's where you spend your money, not on another addition to the church, for goodness sakes. And spend it for the hungry, for the homeless. Do good with it. But family, y'all are using wrong Bibles. It's missing verses. So religion is being used to take you away from Jesus under the guise of bringing you to him, but it's not. Philosophy is there to confuse your mind. Religion continues it, taking on a different course every time. And they're trained, family, there's trained Baptist Jesuits. There's trained Presbyterian Jesuits. They're trained to confuse you by design. They're lying, murdering Jesuits coming in as one of your pastors. And the others controlled by the National Council of Churches. And the 501c3, man, get out of that thing. The 501c3, tax-exempt status, it was what you don't know, they're not telling you. The 501c3 is the government telling your church, your pastor, the board members, what they will preach about and what they won't preach about. And the Freemasons there, I'm telling you, I know this because a preacher told me that the Freemasons came to him one day when he was talking about fornication and other things to stop talking about it. I was told this by a preacher. The Freemasons monitor. They pretend to be Christians. And the ones at Blue Lodge, they may actually believe it. But the Freemasons worship Lucifer. The 33rd degree, they tell them this later when they become 32nd degree. 33rd degree, depends what level they are. They discover that Lucifer is the god they worship. And that's a documented fact. Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike, page 3-something, another 327. I have to look at my notes. Religion was designed and created as an Ashram Ray, as they call it, to divide the people, and boy has it ever. Just in Christianity alone, there's 41,000 sects, S-E-C-T-S. I got to make sure I say that right. 41,000, and there, a lot of them are different doctrine. That's just Christianity. Now, you're a Christian that believes in reincarnation? Yeah, you got them. You got them. What's going on here? You've got children. Can they be possessed? Absolutely. You got children saying, well, I died as a mother, a woman, and a fire. A child came recently. I've gotten articles people sent me about reincarnation of children that saying, well, I remember when I was a woman, some little child, 5 or 6 or 7 years old. All of a sudden, you got a rash of these children. They're saying they're reincarnated human beings from another era. Oh, boy. We got big problems. Religion is not about God. Religion is about God, little g. And fake doctrine. In every religion, including Christianity. Religion for wars, money, corruption. Family, the Vatican murdered 50 to 68 million people between 1200 AD and 1800 AD, just in the Inquisition. 50 to 68 million people. 100,000 were slaughtered at St. Bartholomew Massacre in France in the 16th century. That's a problem. A big one. And then after they finished France, from Spain to France, they targeted England, was Anglican that day, those days, to make them Roman Catholic, but they failed in the Spanish Armada, sunk to the bottom of the ocean. I'm not done. The arts, harmony, beauty in the arts is another part of what they're doing. That's part of the Ashram Rays. Harmony, beauty, and the arts is a teaching point. You go, and when you go up to a painting or a sculpture, something, it teaches you silently. It's a silent teaching tool. So in their I wasn't planning none of this, what I'm talking about today. None of this is planned. I mean, nothing. I'm talking off the top of my head, and I'm pulling stuff out here and there to give you a message that the Holy Spirit's telling me to tell you. That's all I can tell you, right? I don't want to tell you. But they come up with, if I can find it, I don't think I can find it right now. I used to have things kind of ready, but art at first was meaningful, wasn't it? Art was meaningful. But you had Michelangelo, who was part of the Illuminati. Yes, he was. Who did that painting at the Sistine Chapel of God dressed like a half-dressed old man in white hair touching the finger of Adam as a creation. Well, what does that give you as a teaching point? That God's a little old white, great-haired old man, human, in some ridiculous setup, and that's all he is. No, my God's a lot bigger than that. He did more than touch Adam's finger. He created him wholly and fully, in other words, and the universe as well. But what it does, it demeans God and brings him down. And Da Vinci was an avatar. Da Vinci was Illuminati in the occult, and he painted a fake Jesus on the Last Supper next to Mary. That wasn't true. That painting's a lie. You see? And your art, yes, is used to distort reality. Absolutely. Now, they said to take the art, and literally it's documented. It's documented. They said to take the art and make it meaningless. That's called modern art. It's confusing. And everybody pretends they like it. You go up to modern art, and they'll say, oh, yes, this is a... Okay. And they'll read it, and they'll say, well, look at this. Various is ingenious. They don't know what the heck they're talking about. They just agree with it because they don't know what it is. This is documented about how they are told to make art meaningless, and they call it modern art. I was trying to find it where they had listed. I got a whole briefing book here that I kept. Anyway, that's basically what it says. I don't have the details in front of me. I'll cover this tomorrow in more detail, what I'm talking about now. I can do that. Goals of the Illuminati. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what they've done. Now, I'll talk about that tomorrow. How about that? I'll talk about their actual plans that they would talk about in the Bilderberg Group and so forth. Infiltrate Freemasonry, which is to be used to conceal and further objectives. Oh, yeah, it's all documented. I got all this documented. See, they have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. 10 planks of communism. You just have to look for it. Now, science is another one. Science has been used for vaccines to kill, maim, destroy, to rebuild the human body into a machine. Science has been used to make the atom bomb under the guise of, as I read you, the 40 plans of making a new and better world. That's what they were told. They didn't tell them they were going to take it to give you cancer and destroy millions with it. They didn't tell them that. Science was created by Satan. I'm sorry, but it was. Used to control electronics, chemistry, chemicals, to reduce the population. I've only got 4 or 5 minutes. That's why I'm hurrying this up. To give you an idea how vast this conspiracy really is. I'm not making none of this up. Do I have to explain to you the politics? That goes without saying. Council of Foreign Relations, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, every darn war we've ever had, treaties, breaking of treaties, rules of engagement to kill and destroy, and finance. Federal Reserve. Nixon took us off the silver standard, and FDR took us off the gold standard. The leaders are against the people because the leaders of the countries of the world work for the secret societies. They've used education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics and finance to control this world. I have details of each one, and I'll present those to you this week. Exactly how they do it for each of these areas. Today, apparently, it's just a presentation of it. Today, I covered a whole lot of ground to show you how this is all connected in ways that can be proven. And there's ways to combat it. But to delay it, you're not going to stop it. But it's been delayed over and over and over. Psalms 2, verses 1 and 2 tells you right there, and all through Psalms 2, that God's in control. They're not. Family, let you all know that these broadcasts and Bible studies that I do are also played in highpointradio.net, randomly played on his network, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He has sponsors up there, and his sponsors are listed in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, on his website. If you live in those three states, contact him or find his sponsors and use them and give him a good word or give him better some donations for him to run his radio program. Find out. For me, he just plays my radio broadcast and Bible studies. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my website, I just told you. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And I think tomorrow would be good if I started covering details about what I talked about today. What do y'all think? And I just continue it on to talk about that. I'm also going to continue to talk about the world unions that needs to be talked about, because that's the revived Roman Empire, family. I've just given you an introduction today about it. It's in the Bible. Man, you can't make that stuff up. That's not a coincidence. Come on now. That's not a coincidence. The same Holy Roman Empire, the same one in France and arm in arm that they were marching in solidarity, were the very ones that's orchestrating the doggone wars. France. Your leaders are liars. Britain, America, Italy, Spain, China, Russia. Your leaders aren't for the country, for the people. The leaders are for the secret societies. Jesus is coming back. That Bible's true. Because everything in it's come true so far. I don't see any reason why it would stop now. Why would it stop? It's not going to. It's amazing how this works, but family, you got to seek Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. And all this quote-unquote head knowledge tells you what's happening, but the spiritual knowledge is the key. The two together opens the door. Holy Spirit protects you. Everything on this earth is temporary, but Jesus Christ is permanent. There's going to be the rise of tyranny and then the fall of Babylon all at once in 1 7-year period. Well, family, y'all have a good night. Remember that the end of this game is told to you about in the book of Revelation, Daniel and Isaiah. It tells you, because it's going by the book. That's the important thing to know. And that Jesus Christ is your way. And he's the only way. There are no others. Well, family, have a good night. And God bless you all. And then tonight, 8 to 9, Bible study. And tomorrow, 4 to 6, we hit the ground running. Y'all be ready. Good night. God bless. This is your watchman, Thomas Gamble. I'm signing off.
Sunlight from the skies, guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
faithful. I am with you every day.